what scriptures do you use to enter in the Father? When you're entering in the Father, like we've talked about so many times, it's a really good thing to enter in to union first. Enter in the door. I mean, enter in the door. Learn to move through the door. How many of you are learning to move through the door pretty fluidly? That's a very, very good thing. You remember when you first started trying to move through the door? It was very awkward. But you kept moving and kept moving, and finally you started moving through, and now you know the way. And that's the same way with the rest. As you enter into the rest of God, you'll learn to move in. And from the rest, we move into union and we move into the Father. This is the heart of the gospel. It's not the end. It's the heart. Jesus came to seek and save the lost, but he came to reconcile us to the Father. Not save us and leave us at the cross. He came to bring us all the way to the Father. And that's one of the scriptures I want to share. The where I am part, John 12, verse 26. It says, if any man serve me, he's already talking about in John, let him follow me. That where I am, there shall my servant be. And if any man will serve me and follow me, him my Father honor. How will the Father honor you? Well, the first way the Father's going to honor you is he welcomes you into himself through Christ. Like Tina said, you got to go through Christ. There's no other way. You're not going around, up and around. There's no up and around anything. And people who try to do that, they get in all kinds of things. It's very wise to move into the kingdom through the word, through what the word says. The word is enough. You don't need any extra. The word will get you there. Amen. John 14, 15, 16, 17 is enough to get you in there. Amen. When it says my Father, he said, he made a servant, he'll let him follow me. Well, where he's leading you first, of course, he's leading you, of course, to the cross. And then he's going to lead you through the cross, and he's going to lead you into the Father. This is the way, believe it or not, that the Lord designed this in the beginning. He didn't design for us to get saved and then live here and try to perfect ourselves for 50 years in a whoo gospel setting. He meant to get us into the Father so the Father could begin the perfecting process. And one of the things I learned that's so amazing about the Father is how much he loves me despite of me. Because the more I get into his love, the more my stuff comes out. And he doesn't hold my stuff against me. That doesn't mean he condones it, but he doesn't hold it against me. In other words, he doesn't say, well, if you'll deal with that, I'll let you in. He'll let me in because I have faith to go in. That's why I keep telling people, you got to go in by faith. If you try to go in by feeling, you're going to get stopped out because some of your issues are going to show up. And if you don't know how to get past your issues, you're not going to get in there because your issues are going to block you. And so shame, guilt, condemnation, whatever your issues are, they're going to block. But if you go through faith, faith can penetrate those veils, see. Faith in his word. And so he said, if you'll follow me, you can be with me where I am. And it says, if any man will serve me and follow me, him my Father will honor. And the first way the Father's going to honor us is he's going to love us. Now, God loves you already. He loves you whether you ever approach him, but the way he honors is drawing us in and embracing us. Amen. That is an honor in this life. That is an honor that's beyond honor. Years old, you also found the pathway. And because of that, you can give people that pathway and the fruit and what took you so long to get this next young generation so hungry and thirsty. They're going to be able to go in freely. Amen. Wow. Glory to God. Now, listen to this verse here in Ephesians 2. Now, these scriptures, when you're in prayer, you got to get them in you. Amen. Because it's these words that are in your heart that's going to cause you to move. They're going to set a compass and they're going to give you the faith. And so when the word is sown in the heart, your faith will be able to release into these realms. And I'm telling you, do not wait till you get to heaven to experience the Father like this, because you're going to kick yourself if you do, because it's going to be too late then. Because getting into the Father is when the big stuff's going to happen. I mean, because he already promised, he goes, if you'll keep my words, verse 14, John 14, 23, he said, Jesus answered, said to him, this is a very, very powerful verse right here. In John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said to him, if any man love me, how many of you love God? He said, he will keep my words. In the next verse, I didn't list this verse, but he says that he that loveth me not will not keep my sayings. So God has a different definition of what love is and what love's not. Now, when he says keep my words, he's not talking about going and get a list of 10 commandments and going to keep them. Because you start doing that, you're going to get nothing but law and you're going to get nothing but works. And you're not going to get anywhere trying to get in law and works. Listen, if the first, since Moses' day and the institution of law, if they couldn't get perfected under the law, the thousands of years, you think you're going to get perfected by law and works in your 50 years? It's not going to happen. The perfection comes through Christ. He already perfected us. So he's not talking about keeping the law, the do's and the don'ts. A lot of people feel like, well, if I'll just fix this and fix it, you're missing the whole point. He'll fix you. What he would rather you do is take his words, agree with him, and move into the Father, and the Father will fix you. Trust me, I'm living an example of that. Praise the Lord. He'll fix you in a way and you'll enjoy being fixed. Praise the Lord. You'll enjoy the process. What he's talking about in keeping the words, he's talking about these specific words he spoke in the upper room. In John 14, 15, 16, 17, the heartbeat of these words, which he began, and he actually started talking about all through John, but the bulk of those words were the words of to be with me where I am. If you'll keep these words, then what I'll do is I'll bring you before the Father. And he gives you the pathway. A lot of people are trying to find their pathway and said, well, you know, you got your way. But listen, he gave the pathway. All I've done is connect to what he said. And I found it's a perfect pathway if you'll take his words, his promises. Well, let me give you an example of one of them. If you look there in the Where I Am section, John 14, verse 2 and 3. This is powerful. He said, in my Father's house, there's many mansion or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to go and prepare one for you. A lot of people say, well, he's going to go prepare for me a mansion when I get the glory. Yeah, he will prepare mansions. There's no doubt. A lot of people have been to heaven. There's mansions there. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you, I go to prepare a place. If I go to prepare, I'll come again and get you. Receive you unto myself at where I am. There you may be also. That song. Oh, that's just the heartbeat song. That's a promise. That's what you hold in your heart. That word right there will get you there. It's enough. Everyone say it's enough. If you'll exercise faith with that word and hold it and keep it, he says, if a man will keep these words in his heart, he means keep these words in his heart, in his mouth. Say in his heart, in his mouth, in the heart, in the mouth. Those words are going to get you there. They have a built-in compass. They have a built-in energizer, buddy. They'll get you in there. They'll move you consistently through the veil, one veil after another, until you come into the Father's great love. Amen. They'll get you there. Those are the words he was talking about. Those are the promises. He said, if a man loves me, he's going to keep these words, and I'm going to bring him to the Father. But he that loveth me not, he that keepeth not my sayings loveth me not. He has a different definition of love. How many want to keep his sayings? Not keeping the law, keeping the words that bring us to the Father's perfection. Amen. So how do we do that? Well, we keep these. We hold them in our heart. We keep them in our mouth. We meditate and we practice the awareness. We move through the door. We move the rest. But these are promises that'll get you to the Father. These are the very ones I use every day. Sometimes it seems like I'm not going to get there. I'll be honest with you. Everyone, it's sometimes I'll get to the door. I'm in the rest and I think I'm not going to get to the Father. It just nothing happened. And I'll just keep. And what I do instead of getting fearful or afraid, I'll just sit there, hold these words. I'll just keep focusing on them, keep meditating upon them. And I got a full bank of words in here. So I'll just go out these two pages. I use all of them and I'll just keep going around. Even when I'm not feeling it, all of a sudden this door just opens. And when it opens, into the Father. And there's nothing anywhere like the Father. Not that I have found. There's nothing. Even Jesus himself said, the Father is greater than I am. He said, if you love me, you would rejoice. That's, I think it's on the second page. He said, if you love me, you will rejoice that I'm going away. How would you say that? I mean, he's sitting there bringing full-blown revival to the cities, and he's telling them he's leaving. He's leaving. He's telling him he's going away. And they're all sad. He goes, listen, if you love me, you rejoice in this that I'm going away. Because the Father's greater than mine. I mean, you can imagine Peter, James, and John look at each other and say, well, that's great for you. You're going away, but you're leaving us here. But that's not what was happening. He said, listen, you rejoice I'm going away because my Father's greater than I am. And what he was saying to him, he says, if you think fellowship with me on the earth was something, wait until I bring you into union with the Father. How many of you like to have been one of the 12 disciples? Raise your hand. I would have. You are a disciple here. I'm going to give you and all those who hear your words in any generation, I will give you a higher place than me walking with you in the earth. And that's hard to comprehend because walking with Jesus, everybody would love that. But he said, I'll give you a higher place than that with a Father. That's why I'm going away. That's what I'm going to prepare for you. That's what I'm going to come and get you. And I'm going to bring you to where I am in the Father. Then you'll understand. Isn't that glorious? Those are the words you keep. If you're going to master anything in this life, master the kind of faith that can bring you to the Father. There's probably no greater thing that you could master in this life is the mastery of faith that can bring you into the Father's great love. Amen. I say this a lot to make this distinction. I know every one of you know the Father's love. I know every one of you know that the Father loves you. I know every one of you probably have encountered the Father's love. As a show of hands, how many of you encountered the Father's love in this life? Well, that's what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is being able to go into that place every day and drink freely, fully. Isn't that glorious? That's what he wants. And for that love to begin the process of transformation. And so he said, these words, if a man will keep these words, my Father will love him. He said, my Father will honor him. First, he said, my Father would honor him. But then he clarifies what he's saying. He says, my Father will love him. We keep these words, we come into the Father, and he will begin to initiate perfect love to our life. Amen. And one of the things you're going to find out is how much he loves you and all your stuff. Your stuff doesn't intimidate him, and your stuff doesn't get in the way, because he don't see your stuff the way you see it. He doesn't see you the way you see you. And that's why he required faith, because he knew to get there, you'd always see yourself the way you see you. And never the way he sees you. So he said, if you'll embrace my words and just agree with my words, despite how you feel, just hold these words, agree with these words will get you to where he is so he can show you how much he loves you. He can freely love you. He can freely embrace you. And then you'll begin to understand and believe. Amen. Then you'll believe the love he has towards you. Amen. Glory to God. It's a very powerful scripture. 1 John 4, verse 16 says, we have known and believed. Say, known and believe the love that God hath to us. So listen to that very carefully. We've known and believed. See, we know and believe. I'll hold that a lot of times when I'm going to say, I know and I believe the love you have to us. Even if I'm not feeling it, if there's separation, get in very fast. I mean, just living in this world, do you need a bath every day? Do you need a bath every day? How much more do you need to be loved every day? You're walking in this world, just to be in this world, there's going to be certain stuff you're going to get on you. I'm not even talking about sin. I'm just being in the system. You're going to be around words and people, and you're going to be around attitudes and situations and atmospheres. The world's full of it. And so you got to get cleansed and washed. You come in, and the Father's not holding that. Oh, well, if you clean yourself up, I'll let you come in, because nobody comes in here unless they're fully clean. No, he doesn't do that. But you feel that way. Sometimes you'll feel certain ways that are far beyond the way God sees and feels about you. So that's why you embrace his words instead of what you feel. That's why I'm trying to tell you, don't go in by how you feel. Go in by his words, embrace his words, hold his word. Sometimes, like I was telling Anna, sometimes you just have to hold that word and focus in, even when things are pulling at you and you're feeling separated from God, you're feeling separated from the Father. Nothing can separate me from you, Father. I know and I believe the love that you have towards me. I know and believe it, Father. And I keep and I hold and focus, and you'll keep doing that, that veil will just break, see. And what I have to do to just open up, and then you go in, then you start feeling it. He'll start filling you up. He'll start exploding on things. He'll sandwich you. He'll cover you and open a river. He says, we know and believe. Say, we know and believe. Now, notice the scripture, because there's a lot in this. These scripture, you, it's good for you to understand them, not just read them with your head, but you'll understand them in your heart. They'll get you into it. Notice what he says. He says, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in the Father, and the Father will dwell in him. You see it? The Father is love, and he that's dwelling in the Father, you're dwelling in love. And then love's going to come dwell with you here. That's what's next, by the way. Everyone say, that's next. John 14, 23 says, he answered and said to him, if a man love me, I love him. You love him? He will keep my words that are being spoken in this upper room, and my Father will love him. That's where we're at. I call this phase three. This is phase three. I will reveal the Father. I will reveal the Father. And, say, and, this is next, by the way. This is what is about to happen. We, say we, that's Father and Son, will come unto him in your jurisdiction where you are. You come unto us where we are. We come unto you where you are. And we, say we, will make our abode. Abode means home, dwelling place. When God sets up dwelling place with you, the type and shadow of that is the tabernacle of Moses. God comes, sat down in the tabernacle. What he was saying is, I want to be with man. You're separated. It's as close as we can get. But Moses, you're coming in through a covenant. But what I want to do is put this tabernacle on the inside of every person. And then I want them to come to where I am. I want to love them, set them free, perfect them. But after we perfect them, then we'll come and make our abode with you in the earth. Now, everyone's looking for the great revival to come. I'm telling you, it's in that scripture right there. The greatest revival in human history is coming. See, it's coming when the Father comes and makes his abode with us in the earth. When the Father, say the Father, when he shows up, he's going to show up in love. We're already feeling, I mean, he's feeling the shift in worship. You're already feeling the shift in the atmosphere. And he hasn't even fully come because he tells you what's going to happen in John 17. He's going to send you. Say he's going to send you. He says, they're not of this world. He prays for them in the upper room. And then by the time of John 17, he says, Father, they're not of this world. I'm not of this world, but these are in the world. But by the time he gets to the end of his prayer, he said, they're not of this world. He done shifted them to the next level, and they hadn't even shifted yet. See, God will shift you when you hadn't even made the shift. He's made the shift. When God makes the shift, you might as well say yes. Because he said, Father, I'm not of this world, but they're in the world. I'm praying for them, because he had already repositioned the Father. I'm praying for them. By the time his prayer was over, he says, Father, they're not of this world. They're not of this world. Now send them, Father. See, when the Father sends, he goes with you. He sends. Oh, by the way, when we send from this place, we go with you. We go with you. The Father comes, and then the Father, and we can say like this, said, we are not doing this. It's the Father doing these works. He's done come on the scene. One thing I found out about the Lord's ministry was the Father doing the great works. He said it. He said it. And when the Father shows up, when the Father stands before blind eyes, he doesn't leave them blind. He just too much love there. He's not going to leave somebody in a depraved condition. When the Father's present, they're going to get healed. They're going to get whole. They're going to get set free. Everyone say, Father, come, come. And God said, no, 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 no. You come up first. You know why? He goes, I'm love. If you want me to dwell with you, I dwell through a garden of love. Not your love, my love. I'm going to come up and replant your garden. So when you're coming up there, he's pulling stuff out. He's going to replant your garden, see, and he's going to plant himself. So that's why he said, he that dwelleth in God dwelleth in love. So you're dwelling in love. He's planting your garden. Every time you come up, he's replanting the garden. He showed me that. He said, I'm planting a new garden. I said, well, what are you doing? He goes, a garden that I can dwell in. Because when I dwell in all of you. I dwell spirit, soul, body, mind, heart. He goes, I'm going to dwell in all of you. Holy Ghost dwells up inside of Christ in you. Good thing for him. Thinking he's dwelling up in our flesh. But when the love perfects us to a level, the Father comes and dwells. That's the manifested glory, because the Father's with us. A manifested glory, manifested love, manifest. That's the revival, glory, renewal, whatever you want to call it, the awakening. That's what's coming. If we make it to the Father, we are guaranteed that he's coming back with us. We make it there to love. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, it depends on how much, you know. Look at John 17:17. See, it's sanctify them through the truth, for thy word is truth. Do you know what that actually means? He's praying. He said, now, Father, I've given them these words now, is what he's saying. I've given them your words, Father. Now sanctify them through the truth, for thy word is truth. And we think, okay, we're going to get the word. The word's going to come. It's going to sanctify us. It's going to make us perfect here. That's not what he's saying, because the word sanctify means set apart. He goes, Father, I've given them the words that have the power. This is what you must understand. Change your approach. Change the way you approach. Do it the way he said it. It'll work. Amen. He said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart unto yourself through these words. I've given them the words. Now, Father, take those words and separate them to yourself. That's what he was saying. Let these words separate them unto you. It's the same thing as saying, if a man keeps my words, him my Father will love, because these words will bring you to where the Father dwells. Isn't that glorious? I'll do that a lot. I'll hold that word. If I'm having trouble getting in, I said, sanctify me, Father. Set me apart. These words have the power to set me apart. I don't care what I feel. I don't care what I've done. Set me apart. Set me apart unto you, Father. Sanctify me unto you, Father. Set me apart. And what I do is I focus, and I don't let myself moved over. I focus all my faith on those words, and I hold them, because what I'm trying to do is move into that entrance. See, through Christ, I'm moving into that entrance. And once that door opens, the meeting is on. Amen. Your life will be happy. How many of you want to be happy? Glory to God forever. Look at John 14. Verse 6, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But if you had known me, you should have known my Father. And from henceforth, or from this point forward, notice he says, you know him. Say, you know him. I'll say, from henceforth, from this day, I'll say it. From this day, Father, I know you. From this day, I'm acquainted with you. From this day, I dwell with you. From this day, I'm set apart unto you. This is how I operate with these words. I hold and agree. Now, a lot of times, I'm not feeling it. A lot of times, I'll get certain level. I'll get in through the door. I'll get in the rest, but I'm not being able to get up into that mountain with God. I can't get to that veil. And I'll take these words. I'm just teaching you how to do it. I'll hold them and focus. A lot of reason why you don't go through is because you let yourself drift. And if you'll let your mind start drifting, you'll start solving today's, yesterday's issues, tomorrow's problems. You'll start thinking about stuff. And what you're doing is you're detaching. This type of prayer, union, and communion requires to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. You got to love him with everything. You can't be telling him I love you and your mind's out there thinking about something else. You got to pull it back in. You got to pull it in and focus. What I'll do is I'll pull it back in. And so these words are my anchor. These words are what I focus. I focus through these words. That's why you have them in your heart. From henceforth, Father, from this point, I know you. It is that hour, Father. It is the day that I know that I dwelleth in you, Lord, and we dwelleth in the Father. It is that day that I know that you dwell in the Father. And that I am where you are, Lord, through the glory of oneness, through the glory of union, I dwell where you are. I dwell. What you have to understand, these words through your faith have the power to transport you. Amen. A lot of people wanting to go hang out in heavenly places, and they want to see all this and see all that. You're missing the whole thing. The greatest thing you want is the Father's love. the greatest thing you want is the great love of the Father. There's nothing wrong with seeing, but if your focus is the love, you're going to get there. If you focus, if you hold these words, they're going to get you to love. Amen. That's what the church needs. That's what we all need. Whether you know it or not, you need the Father's great love. We all do. I don't care how much anyone in here thinks they might have it together. We all need, desperately need his love. Because God is tired, I believe, in my heart. The Father is tired of using a dysfunctional church. God has been anointing a dysfunctional church for a very long time. Because he's going to do that. He anointed the Corinthian church. They were highly dysfunctional. But that is not his best and highest. He wants his sons in the earth now. He wants to reveal the manifested sons of God in the earth. He wants to bring his church up to where he is and perfect them. And then have the church come and love humanity with his love. Not our love, his love. His love is greater. Some of us got certain love that we're much better at life than others. Some of us are dysfunctional. But we all can love with the Father's love if we'll get to it. We'll all represent the Father. And the Father will represent us and the earth. Amen? And that's what God wants in this generation. The final generation will be the manifested sons of God. The manifested daughter. You won't have to tell people the Father's love. The Father's going to show them. They're going to feel it. They'll feel the atmosphere around you. I love being with the Father. Look at Jude 1 verse 24. This is real. You can use this scripture a lot. Now unto him that's able to keep you from falling, praise the Lord, and to present you, say present you, faultless before the presence of the Father's glory with exceeding joy. So the Lord's going to present you faultless. He's not going to present you the way you feel or the way you see yourself. He's going to present you faultless because you're in him. Right, so he said, you got to be in him. The Father's not looking at you through your lenses. He's looking at you through the lenses of Christ. And when he sees you clothed in Christ. He says, come up. And the Lord's presenting you faultless. Now, here's the key. When you're not feeling faultless, when you don't feel faultless and you got all your feelings, that's where you need faith. Because you're feeling your stuff. You're feeling the junk in the trunk. See, you're feeling all that. And because of that, that's what the enemy is going to empower to keep you out. And so what happens, what the Father wants you to do, what the Lord wants you, is just agree. A lot of times I'll just agree. I was telling that to Anna the other day, we were sharing about getting in. I said, just agree? Because she's really starting to move now and moving into up into the Father. I said, just agree with his words, even when you don't feel like it. Just agree. You present me faultless. No. You don't present my condemnation. You're not presenting me in shame. You're not presenting my faults. You present me faultless. You present me faultless. You present me, Lord, holy and without blame. And the devil will scream at you when you say things like that. You're not holy. Of course you're not holy. The Father's going to make you holy. You set me apart. You present me faultless, Lord. I'm going up in you. What I do is I like to get into a cocoon like I'm in a cocoon with the Lord. Lord, I'm going up in you. I'm going up in you. And I feel a cocoon around me because he's going to bring me up in through that veil, see. And you'll get there by agreement and faith in those words. Amen. And you'll start making your approach and you start moving into the Father consistently. Ultimately, what do we want? The Father to come back and dwell with us here. We want the Father dwelling and we're going to get it. Amen. He promised it. He cannot lie. If he got us to the Father's coming. Amen. He's already showing up in little spurts, but he's coming in fullness. And he's coming upon a generation because he's calling a generation to him. And that is our message to the body of Christ, to teach people how to come into the Father. I don't want to draw men to me. I want to draw them to the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Oh, my life's hidden with Christ and the Father. That's a great one. Oh, I love this. And we'll close with this. John 20, verse 16. And Jesus said unto Mary, this is powerful because Jesus just come up out of the grave. He hadn't even ascended to the Father yet. He just came in and Mary's the first one to meet him. He just came out of the grave. God, what a glorious day that was. Wow. And he come out of the grave and he said unto Mary, touch me not, Mary, for I am not ascended to my Father, Here's the first words he gives. But go. He goes tell the disciples. He didn't talk to the apostles first. He talked to Mary. And he gave her the first message. He said, go tell my brethren, send them, I ascend unto my Father and now your Father, to my God and your God. I ascend now to not only my Father, but he is all inherited rights, your Father, just as much as he's my Father. I'm giving you the same place that I have with him. As a son, you're all sons now. And you have equal access and equal rights. Isn't that glorious? He is your Father. And he wants you to dwell with him.